Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to my very special guest, Ron Eigner. And speaking of being a businessman, when do you get any downtime, Ron? Because it seems like you're running a restaurant, you're running around, and in your spare time, you're trying to save people's kids. When do you get any? Do you get any downtime? Do you get any you time?
I'm not understanding you. Can I give you what?
Do you get any time to yourself? To
this takes up more time. It kind of takes over even my own survival. Can I tell you that? I've got a lot of projects I can do that I could produce a better income if I could only take time to do them. And with my back injury, I ain't looking towards doing them anytime soon anyway. But I have to spend my time getting this done. Belief that unless this is done, I haven't accomplished what I need to be doing. Okay, the prioritizing, I think, is correct. Excuse me if I sound like I've gone off to where I've become, what would you say, obsessed. Well, I guess my knowledge of this makes me want to be obsessed because I simply have knowledge here that when it gets out, it's going to shake up a few people. And I think the people need to be shaken up. So I'm hoping that people will understand this. Just go to Mark Taylor's website, and you'll see that he's not the only child that's involved. We're fortunate enough to have taken on some strong support in the name of, if you know, Brandon Robb, who was a Marine recently who was abducted. And they tried to medicate him, but his mother, Kathleen Thomas, stood up for him. So in trying to abduct a fellow Marine, we have a lot of good Marines that didn't think that was appropriate. And in that, we have the support of P. Santilli. So I simply would like to kind of like plug P. Santilli for having stepped up for Mark Taylor. He sees the tragedy that's taking place. You don't have to guess that it's taking place, just simply see what they've done to Mark, and you'll understand that he is not only Donna's son, but he's an American son, and he was doing the right thing when they did this to him, and we can't let that happen to anyone. And in this case, it apparently exposes that they've been doing this thousands of times over to other people. And it's not the way our country should be run, with them simply just grabbing people and throwing them into mental institutions and drugging them. So it opens up an entirely different battle line, I guess, to where, you know, they're not just fighting it with guns, but they're fighting this with medications. And obviously I think these medications that they're prescribing are, in fact, causing some of these mass shootings that we're witnessing. As we were talking about earlier, it takes away their ability to have compassion. So I guess it becomes a drug war. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I think they declared the drug war on the wrong side. They should have declared it on the pharmaceutical companies. They should have declared the drug war on the FDA. But instead, the people make lots of money off of dangerous drugs, right?
Just on that simple fact that Mark spoke in front of the FDA against the drugs, he should qualify for some kind of a federal protection. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand why they threw him out with yesterday's trash because he was trying to expose these dangerous drugs. You'll see what I'm talking about when you go to the Release Mark Taylor Facebook. And then obviously when we learned about the shooter having been raped, good gosh, I mean, that's some bad information. People don't like you when they're military or where they're wearing police uniforms or they swear their allegiance to the corruptness of the government. If they simply realize that they owe us, the taxpayer, the respect of the Constitution, then we would have our questions answered. But for some reason, we can't get our government to give us those First Amendment rights that... you know, obviously I'm talking freely now, but what I'm saying is we've been held off from the media stream totally with this information, and I don't think they should have that kind of power. It just goes to show you what the mainstream media is all about, because we've actually got several different tapes of some of the mainstream popular media talking about what we've discussed tonight, and they've never done anything with it. You understand, they go so far, and then somebody shuts them up, or somebody loses a job or something, and then it never goes any further.
Hello? So,
yeah, you know Jonathan Elenoff, I believe. He's one of them. Julia Hayden, who's in that one documentary, we have her questioning the story. When the Pat Sullivan case came out, people were so shocked that that could actually happen, that cops could have sex with children. It takes a while for people to catch up with this, you know.
Yeah, because they love the cops.
We gave another shot at it to expose
them.
The Columbine tragedy. Yes.
Well, we got a caller on the line here. I want to take him before we run out of time. 314 area code. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey. Hello, yeah, man. I just want to. Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was wanting to comment on what you were saying about the mainstream media, and they are absolutely all about keeping people, you know, absolutely distracted with things that really don't matter, like gay marriage and things like that, you know, just keep the mind distracted. The three main things that go on in this country is working, being entertained, and consuming. That's the three main functions. And no matter where you go, people are obsessed with that. And people say just stay distracted with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. The distraction, essentially, I feel, is the main purpose of the mainstream media. Not to bring the important issues to your attention, but to distract you from them with unimportant things.
Exactly.
Well, remember, they were talking about Marilyn Manson was supposed to be the reason why those two boys went off. And in fact, I would like to tell Marilyn Manson, like, hey, guess what? It wasn't you. It was a couple pedophile cops, you know? Isn't that kind of interesting that he should know that? Because he got attacked over being an influence on the Columbine. There was really nothing to that, you understand? They were coming up with the Nazi connection, and no, they didn't even read any of Hitler's books.
Are you talking about Charles Manson?
No, Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson. Yeah, he was in the Bowling for Columbine movie. You probably want to do a little brushing up. There's a lot of this stuff that's on the Internet. You can research it rather easily. There's one. Now, what we do know, too, is the guy that wrote the Columbine book, that's just simply named Columbine. His name's David Cullen, and he's an FBI publicist. And he's also the one that did the Columbine final report, which is a video you can watch. Right towards the end of that, when they're asking why the two boys did this, they talk about that most interesting written motive in the yearbook, where it says, "My wrath for January's incident will be godlike." Well, yeah, and then he goes on to settle it out as if he agrees now with the FBI's findings that these were two boys with minds that were, one was a psychopath and one was a depressive.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
yes,
you know, have you ever heard of the CIA and its mind control programs?
In the what?
In its mind control programs, the CIA
MK Ultra
program.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. They're really studying that heavily because of the theater shooter right now.
Yeah, I know. He had no recollection of what he was doing.
Well,
and they're using these events to, to strict up gun rights.
Yeah. A guy coming out of the prison that was interviewed by this Pendergrass, who we deal with, stated that he was claiming that the therapist was an evil woman who programmed him to do it, okay? So that's already been, everybody's talking MK Ultra, particularly about that case. But, What you need to know is these two Columbine shooters had been, and we couldn't document, 15 contacts that the sheriff's officers had with those two boys. And you, if you know how it went, they denied that they even know who they were. And then we learned, obviously, that they knew who they were immediately. Remember, there was a 3.5-hour time schedule. They had actually had the doors of the control van locked because they were trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah,
about
it comes down to that counter-personality concept, that someone can just absolutely say something to you and trigger that personality. And the personality that you have goes away. And that, you know, born ultimatum killer just comes right out of you. And you're trained and you know what to do. And then, you know, a few hours later, you're back to yourself and you're like, what the hell happened?
Well, that sounds like what
Columbine boys, like, were their parents in the CIA and they were actually in mind control programs, or is that just a theory?
Well, you know, it depends on who you want to hear. I have heard, and there is a connection to the military because Harris's father came out of Plattsville, and he was also working for a military contractor, Jefferson, which means he might have been working CIA or something and got his check through another military contractor. Strangely, the both parents have been very silent. And in this article I mentioned earlier, they were asking, gee, we're hanging on every little piece of information we can get from the shooters' mothers. Well, I forgot to mention that we have over 16,636 pages that we got from Attorney John DeCamp's office because they raided his office for him and they didn't get it all. And out of those pages, we've found a number of pages that were under seal, including some of the depositions of the shooter's parents. So here, the
Ron,
media here.
I'm sorry, Ron. The show's over. Thank you very much. ColumbineFamilyRequest.org.